This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Well, here we go for a Thursday afternoon, and it's going to be a little different than yesterday afternoon, thankfully, but we're obviously going to cover the same topic. Sue, how are you this afternoon?
I am well, thank you.
Ethan is here filling in. He's been doing great work filling in for Fred and covering triple duties because, Wiggins was out today, so you're helping with Andy's show just a little bit. So you're burning the candle, aren't you?
They call me the utility man.
That's a good thing. Look,
they being myself.
I think you are. It's good to have
that
versatility.
Works.
But don't take that as me saying I identify as they.
Okay, good enough.
Had to clarify.
Excellent, excellent. You know, and Sue, I told this story in the air yesterday. I had Ethan weigh in, and I don't think he will be upset with me for mentioning this, but when we were following this story yesterday, and you were busy with stuff and didn't even really know about the assassination until we were starting to hit the air, I'm sure a lot of listeners were like that.
Yeah.
You know, they get off work, they hadn't really heard, they tune in. But Ethan, who I was thinking about this a lot last night because the circumstances for those of us who are older are perhaps a little different. Someone like you, Ethan, you started listening to him when you were, like you said, 15 years old, right?
Oh,
he started being on your radar. I heard John Roberts today, earlier, say something about how when he was back on Fox, he'd been off for a couple of weeks, saying he's got a 13 or 14-year-old that was just devastated. He had no idea that his son was into, you know, what Charlie Kirk was all about. But that's, you had a very emotional reaction yesterday. And I know you and I talked about it a little bit earlier this afternoon, kind of continued into last night.
Yesterday was hard for a lot of people. I would say it was hardest for the generation that he had such an impact on, and I was a part of that generation. Thankful to be a part of that generation. Been watching Charlie Kirk since I was 15. Both he and Ben Shapiro had such a huge impact on, you know, how my political views formed and what I came to believe. And yeah, I mean, there aren't words. And there was a point yesterday where I just broke down, and I just the horror of the situation. I broke down again on the drive home. I broke down again when I saw my wife last night. I broke down when I went to bed because it's just, I'm still struggling to put words together regarding the horror of it.
I am so sorry, Ethan.
But more so, it's what Charlie did for an entire generation as far as being able to educate and show. Because this has been lost in our country, and you guys know this. Political dialogue and being able to say, I disagree, but have a conversation to follow.
No, it's
right.
Charlie Kirk worked so hard to show my generation that can be a thing, and it can be okay, and you don't have to completely block people out of your life just because you disagree.
So, you know, the easiest comparison I would have, and this is not in any way, shape, or form the same situation because of tone and a lot of other things, but Rush Limbaugh did that for some younger people. I mean, I was 30 years old when I started listening to Rush, and I was doing music radio at the time, and I'm like, wait a second, this guy is doing what on the radio? And he's talking about politics, and I was, you know, involved with a passion for politics when I was in high school here at Parkway West, and my conservative ideology was formed very early. Ronald Reagan was president. I had, you know, people like P.G. O'Rourke and Pat Buchanan back in the day, and other people who I would be, you know, fans of, and obviously a certain amount of politicians as well. But what I always said, and I don't even know if this resonates with people, but I'll say it again just because I say things that are on my mind. It would frustrate me literally for decades that, you know, I'm a guy, for people who've never seen me before, I'm a little older than I used to be. I've had an earring since I was 18 years
strikingly
old.
Strikingly good looking.
And I've never, I have a tattoo, and I've never taken the earring out. And I've used, you know, sometimes people have been thrown off by the fact that, who's the conservative, you know, talk show guy?
Oh, I see.
Has a tattoo and an earring. But I always kept it in because it was part of my identity. And I always was mad because, you know, it was deemed, I think, amongst a lot of people in the public, and I felt this way, that, you know, conservatism wasn't cool. You're not one of the cool kids if you're, you know, in the Young Republicans Club or anything like that. And Limbaugh resonated with people because a lot of us at a certain point, and this certainly applied to high school kids eventually as well because of their parents, and, you know, they were in the car listening to Rush. He appealed to people who said, wait, nobody's been expressing these views.
Yeah.
And now we finally hear someone doing that, and it's amazing. Of course, the left never could get anyone even near to that level. And I don't think that Ben and Charlie picked up, you know, where Rush left off, because they were already moving in that direction. And I don't even know if those guys had a relationship with Rush before he died. But I bring it up because it was so awesome for me to see younger people who had been kind of lost in this whole conversation about what the country could be about, how much we love the country, how much we're a patriots, how we believe in freedoms and all these things. Who's going to have that message? Who's going to be the messenger? And he was one of the messengers. And he was one of the guys, this was what's frustrating, I think, to a lot of people. He was one of those people, if you would put up a bunch of pictures on a wall of people that it's become very clear in the last 24 hours that they'd like to remove from the planet, he would be the guy that would be the least, you know, hate-filled, whatever yes. word you want to use, because he wanted the dialogue and the conversation. Now, we're getting into this, and, you know, we're going to explore this afternoon. Brian Kilmeade's going to join me here in just a few minutes. He's on the 5 this afternoon. Curtis Houck's going to talk about some of the media angles. But now we have this conversation that's going on in the media, on social media, here on this show, about whether or not this is something that you can blame on a larger swath of the left outside of the fringes. And I think the answer is yes, for a variety of reasons. Now, look, I would defend, and I will tomorrow on the roundtable. Jane will be here on the roundtable tomorrow. We'll have Jeff Smith. He's a little bit more progressive than Jane is. I'll be curious to see what he thinks. But you literally have people who are the leaders in the Democratic Party. Like the guy who used to be president, right? The woman who was almost president, who was vice president. Tim Walz, AOC, Gavin Newsom, Hakeem Jeffries, Wesley Bell, Tashara Jones. The list goes on. They call us Nazis.
I know.
And bigots, and transphobes, and gun nuts, and religious nuts. And they say it on a regular basis. So if you say that you, this is insanity, it really is. If you say you don't think a man with a penis in a girl's locker room somehow in the eyes of the left, that makes you the bad guy, right? Or that it's unfair that a man with completely different biological structure should compete against women, not only in grade school, but at elite levels in high sports. You're the crazy person.
Right, right. Right.
And this isn't only, this is not from the fringe. And the reason it's not from the fringe, even though a majority of Democrats, when they're polled, you know, they say, yeah, that's effed up. No, we don't agree with that. But the media drives these narratives. The ESPNs, I put a lot of blame on the sports media. They don't cover these stories fairly. You have a trans shooter in Minneapolis, and it's barely mentioned that is a trans shooter. And then when, you know, Charlie Kirk is literally talking about that particular issue yesterday, that's when the bullet rings out. But if you point out, if you're someone on my side, and you all know this who are listening right now, if you point out that the overwhelming number of murders are committed disproportionately to a specific race, you are a racist. It's black on black crime. We try to call it like it is all the time. But people aren't honest about that. It's white cops' fault, right? It's you, the white supremacist. It's your fault. You know, on the flip side, if you feel in your heart, Ethan, and I think you're one of these people, that, you know, is close, has a spiritual relationship close to God, or you think that innocent babies shouldn't be torn from the womb, then you're the danger to society, mm-hmm. not the, you know, the pro-choice people. If you think white cops are not the problem, then you're the crazy person, right? Because white cops are killing our black boys. That's what we heard from Tashara and Corey Bush and Kim Gardner and all these nutcases. We heard it unchallenged in the media, right? That's why the media is complicit. I remember seeing this piece in the Washington Post a few years ago, and it was kind of a profile on Corey Bush, and she's just allowed to spout out anything that she wants without being challenged, right? If you believe, here's the other reason that I feel like this applies to much more of the left, and I'd be very curious to see, and I don't know if there's a way to do this, what our friends on the left really are hearing about this particular incident, because if you believe, and I know that my listeners are not in this camp. There might be some because we have people from the left that like to sample. But if you really believe all the crap that the legacy media is shoving down your throat, NPR on down, of which there's no doubt there's extreme liberal bias, and you don't have to take my word for it. Take the word of Uri Berliner or Barry Weiss, who left the New York Times, who's about to maybe run control of CBS News. Those are the people that have laid it out for you. They've spelled it out. They've shown you evidence. They've brought the receipts. It's not just me or someone on the radio or a podcast talking about how biased the legacy media is. It's a fact. And we know it's a fact because the people who have been part of it and who are now ashamed of it, Mike Schellenberger, and I mentioned Sasha Stone a lot because Sasha is someone who is extreme lefty, who I knew from a different lifetime when I was a film critic, has now come over to the other side. So you might have noticed, ladies and gentlemen, there were no riots in the streets last night, right? There was a lot of sadness across this country. There were a lot of prayers. Prayers are evil, too. You better not do that because that's bad. There were no police cars that were overturned and set on fire. There were no huge crowds that got out of control. Now, I know some of you say, but January 6th, you're forgetting about January 6th. I'm not forgetting about January 6th, but what you're forgetting about is George Floyd and what happened in the aftermath of that. And you're forgetting what happened here in St. Louis with Mike Brown and the disgusting, you know, fires and vandalism and damage and black cops being spat upon. That's the left. Okay, that's not us. The left, who on the right are disowning members of their family? Are there some? Sure, but overwhelmingly, people on the left are the ones that are saying, and I'm someone in this camp, we don't want to be your friend because what you believe in or who you voted for, right? Family members are doing the same thing. I cannot have Thanksgiving dinner with you vile, racist, homophobes who are, you know, Nazis. It's not the right that's doing that. Now, there's disgusting stuff on the extreme right as well. I would be the first to admit that. But this is about something bigger. It really is. And, you know, we always say tone down the rhetoric. There's one, I just tweeted this out, and I've been trying to, most of my stuff on the X, formerly Twitter, has been some retweets here in the last 24 hours. And I like this one quite a bit. If I can get it to come up, sometimes it doesn't come up right away. You got Chuck Schumer, Hakeem Jeffries, and others that are holding a news conference today. And they say coming together is what we ought to be doing, not pointing fingers of blame. I don't even know who this guy is. Orrin McIntyre, he's on Twitter. I don't follow him. Someone had retweeted him that I know. And he said, the very last F I had to give about coming together with the people who have been calling Charlie a fascist threat to democracy for years died the minute his young children watched a bullet explode through their father's throat. And I would second that completely. Brian Kilmeade is coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Play Travis on Fox talking about Charlie Kirk.
MSNBC, Sean, you watched this. They were live on the air saying, one of their guys said, they put out a PR statement. He said, well, Charlie Kirk was riddled basically with hate. And when you put hate out into the world, this kind of thing happens. Oh, tough break. You get shot and killed even though you're completely innocent and all you're doing is making arguments for the betterment of the country. Tough break for your young daughter. Tough break for your son, for your lovely wife that will never get the opportunity to see you grow old with them. I am so angry. And I understand everybody out there says, well, we have to tamp down the anger. I'm not willing to do that right now.
And I understand that from Clay. And by the way, Matthew Dowd, we played that audio yesterday. He has been let go of his duties as an analyst at MSNBC. Brian Kilmeade is with us this afternoon. I know you're doing the five here in just a little bit, so you're probably pretty fired up. I don't even know where to start, Brian. I mean, this is just horrific. And, you know, probably not unlike you, I made the mistake of watching the video and seeing a couple of angles of this, and that makes it even worse.
Yeah, I mean, I said, okay, I was walking, and someone said, you hear about Charlie Kirk, and I'm walking to the train, and I said, let me look at it. I go to Kirk on X, and I see it, and I thought, there's no way this guy could possibly survive, and whoever did that knew exactly what they were doing. And then the more experts I talked to, that seems like the guy knew how to shoot, the guy had a plan, the guy, now they know how he got in, they know how he got out. They found this gun in a wooded area. They found casings. They have pictures. I don't know why. And I'm open to education. I don't know why they wouldn't show us the pictures right away. There would be a force multiplier. You and I, everybody else could be on the street looking for this guy. Or if we ran into him, or I know that guy. I went to college with him. I went to high school with him. I work with him. So they let out a couple of photos. I really am in awe of what they were able to do with multiple cameras on that campus. I really am. As much as I'm disappointed in the security, stunned by it, 6 cops, 3,000 people, yeah. Are you kidding? I am impressed by the way they're getting to the bottom of it, getting this guy, and Cash Patel and Dan Bongino would not be jetting, literally, to Utah unless they had him.
Right, I agree.
They want to probably make the announcement themselves.
Yeah. Well, that's my thought, because earlier, and just to catch the audience up, there was an indication a couple hours ago as I was driving in, I heard it on Fox, that there was going to be a briefing closer to 2 o'clock, and then they canceled that. So that does give an indication. By the way, if that occurs here this afternoon before 6 o'clock, we will air it live on 97.1 FM Talk. But that does seem to give an indication that if they're not getting close, they found this kid.
Yeah, and he does look like a kid, wiry. We'll find out what he's about. I assume it's a he, and we'll see what's behind it. And that's what I think it'll help galvanize, you know, how this fits in with the Minneapolis shooting, how it fits in with the 2 attempts on President Trump's life, and the people that did it and what they were thinking, you know, what they were trying to do with Steve Scalise. I mean, see if there's a pattern here that's worth pursuing, or we just got to deal with the people or unhinged looking for an excuse to try to be famous, like the assassin of John Lennon said. You know, he wanted to matter. So we'll see what this means. I hope they get him alive because I want answers.
Well, what do you make, Brian, of the, you know, there's a lot being said. I spent a little time here in the monologue about the rhetoric, you know, on the right versus the left. And, you know, one of the points that keeps getting made, and I made this, is you have a group of people, and this is certainly not all Democrats, not all people on the left, but they continuously call us Nazis and bigots and threats to society and all these things, right? And this is from the top. That's not from a fringe. That's from the guy that used to be in the White House or the vice president that ran for president or Hakeem Jeffries. And they all do it. They all do the same thing. They say, tamp down the rhetoric, but they still do the same thing, and they have since Butler, right? So, you know, some people think that this is different, that this is a moment. I think we said that on July 13th last year as well. But I don't know how this manifests itself moving forward. It's affected a lot of people. Maybe even I underestimated how many younger people, you know, were really connected with Charlie Kirk.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this guy's an entity himself. He's not a politician. He just affects politics. And, you know, where he was heading, I think, was to try to get an heir apparent. Sadly, there is none. I mean, he's got a movement. People know what to do. They know how to set up an operation. They know how to get the word out. They got a mailing list. They got the format, but they don't have him. And the fact is that we can't name four or five people at Turning Point is bad. And it's got to make who's ever going to run the RNC now, Mike Whatley, now is running for Senate. It's got to make him nervous because that was a youth movement like we've never seen before. You know, as Ezra Klein writes, the liberal columnist, it says, for the longest time, Democrats thought, well, you got the colleges, let's focus on everybody else. We have the union, so let's focus on everybody else. Now they're losing the unions, and they lost the college kids. It took Charlie Kirk three election cycles, but he did it.
You know, we're sitting here, and this is, I can't tell you how many times, and I think you may feel this way as well. We've talked about this story from yesterday, the last 30 hours or whatever it's been, and then you almost completely forget that this young woman was, you know, brutally stabbed on this train in Charlotte.
Oh, yeah.
And that's horrible. I mean, unfortunately, watching both of those videos, and I made the mistake of watching both those videos, there is a fair amount in common. But how do you even get your hands around that one? And then the reaction from the mayor of Charlotte with more empathy for the dude who stabbed this poor girl.
I've just had it. And that's my point I made earlier on Fox, is that the big difference now, and there's a lot, but the big difference now is you and I would say, okay, here's the problem, and then we split on how to solve it. I want more money. I want less money. I want private. You know, and both sides go to their corners, and the most innovative thinkers would emerge as the leaders of their both parties. Now we can't even agree on a problem. Is crime a problem? Pritzker says no. Really? Look at the numbers. Well, they're going down. But there's a problem. Right. But let me do it. But you're not doing it. So let me handle it. No, we don't want you to handle it. Well, what do you want? Well, there's people going to die. Well, you're just going to make things worse. It's political. The border sealed. They told us the border was sealed for 4 years. No one believed it. Well, you can't help it. Climate change. Well, that's worldwide migration. Well, we know that's not true. We know that Kamala Harris didn't do it. And we know that you have to pass your legislation or the bipartisan legislation or nothing would happen. And what happened is Trump came in and shut the border down. So they don't even say he got it right. But we think you're wrong when it comes to arresting illegals in America. So we just move on. So it's your issue, my issue, instead of the issue and the debate. So I can't debate you. It's like trying to fight your shadow. You're not there. So I just stay in my lane, and you just stay in your lane. And I go back, but you know what? I haven't talked to you in months. I don't like you. I haven't talked to you. I don't agree with you. You wouldn't even acknowledge the success I have or the problems I feel. So both sides just have disdain. And what they want to do is win. They want to win. And then do everything that they want to do when they're in power. And then when they lose, and everyone knows the other side's going to eventually win, they're going to flip everything back on its head. And the people in the middle will say, wow, this is getting bad. Question is, are there going to be enough people in the middle eventually to start agreeing again on what the problems are so we could start solving them?
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And I don't know what the answer is or how we move forward from this moment and so many of the other moments. It seems, you know, it's sad and unfair that the 9/11 anniversary is, you know, almost like a second tier story today because it's so important. I can't remember where you were when all that happened. Were you on Fox at the time?
Yeah. Yep. Actually on the air.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played some of that today on the radio show, and, you know, I was actually on the air. We had to interpret what happened. They told us a small plane. I said, it looks like a large plane. And then we watched at 9:06, and then the plane hit again, but while I was watching the other show, and then I hopped in a crew, and I went downtown. But I was like the hybrid sports guy, news guy then.
Yeah.
So they were kind of reluctant to give me a crew. But by the time I got down there, the war correspondent had been scrambled, but he lost his crew. They couldn't communicate. They got lost in the bedlam. So he took my camera. But I was able to sit down there because he should. He was the war correspondent,
right,
and I'm not. So I remember sitting there waiting for my camera to arrive, just seeing the chaos and seeing everything. It looked like the surface of the moon because all the dust and debris, the whole area was covered with a white fine dust. Little did we know it was poison.
Were you close to the towers when they collapsed? How close were you when that happened?
I was at like 34th, and the towers were, I was about 20 blocks away,
okay,
25
so
blocks away.
Fair amount away. But yeah, I mean, that, you know, the horror of the planes going in. My kids were very young. I was watching Blue's Clues with my boys at the time. My sister called on a landline, that tells you something too, and said, you better turn on the Today Show. And I tuned in right as the second plane was hitting the second tower. But, you know, then that became a whole new different emotion when you saw the first tower come down and then the other one topple. It was just unbelievable. And I always recommend, Brian, I've been there only once, but I tell people that if you go to New York City, I think they did a really good job with the 9/11 Museum.
Fantastic job. I wish the curator wasn't getting $750,000 and had to have cost overruns. They got to get to the bottom of that. I don't think that a curator should get $750,000 for a nonprofit, personally. So I would look into what's going on there. So, but if you come to New York City, you got to put it on your list, just like the Statue of Liberty. You got to do
it. Absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
You owe it to the country. It's a patriotic thing to do.
Do you have anything going on for Sunday night, or is it too early because of everything changing so quickly?
We're going to have John Walsh. Hopefully we'll have a killer by then. And we're also going to look at the Charlotte situation. I'm going to have Hugh Hewitt for sure. And we're going to have Senator Steve Daines. So they're pretty much locked in. And then we'll see. I'm going to go live. So I'm going to build something. We'll build something over the weekend to finish it off. And then we've got a big show tomorrow. And I got Fox and Friends. We have Donald Trump in studio.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Is there a time that's set for that?
It looks like 7 a.m. your time,
okay.
8 a.m. our time, as long as he can go.
Right. Yeah, obviously a lot
already,
of moving pieces.
Secret Service is already here.
Yeah, excellent. All right, well, we'll look forward to that. Have a great weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Some of the reaction that's out there is just vile. And, you know, look, I'm going to prove to you that this does not just come from the fringes. Some of the reaction, this is Ilhan Omar on a podcast talking about Charlie Kirk in the aftermath of his assassination.
What I do know for sure is that, you know, Charlie was someone who once said, you know, guns save lives. After a school shooting. Charlie was someone who was willing to debate and downplay the death of George Floyd in the hands of Minneapolis police.
I think he called him a scumbag.
Right, have no regard, downplay slavery and what Black people have gone through in this country by saying Juneteenth should never exist. And I think, you know, there are a lot of people who are out there talking about him just wanting to have a civil debate.
Rewriting of history.
Yeah, there is nothing more effed up, you know, like than to completely pretend that, you know, his words and actions have not been recorded and in existence for the last decade or so.
Oop, that cut out, but she's a member of Congress.
Well.
Yeah, no kidding. She's a member of Congress right now. I don't even know if she's an American because she puts her allegiance elsewhere in many situations. Curtis Houck is back with us, managing editor of Newsbusters. I mean, you're having a lot of work putting some of this stuff up on the Twitter and the other sites because there's so much craziness out there right now, Curtis.
Yeah, Mark, good to be with you again. Well, unfortunately, it is a horrible day. I mean, this cannot go on. The media cannot continue to do this, where they just simply act like they're bystanders in our political discourse. You know, you have all these nice thoughts from some of these people saying we need to do better, this, that, and the other thing, but like they don't demand it of themselves. They're not applying that to themselves. And they also aren't doing things like highlighting the clip that you just played.
Yeah.
They're not bringing that kind of thing up. So you try to say that, oh, you know, some of the first reactions, Katie Turr yesterday, divisive, polarizing, CNN controversial, you know, Matt Dowd, obviously, you know, he's been fired for, you know, saying that Charlie Kirk's hateful thoughts lead to hateful words and hateful actions and inflammatory. And other guests said that as well. CNN was talking about gun culture and a lightning rod.
By the way, on the gun culture thing, let me just say this, because this guy used a .30-06. That's a hunting rifle. All right. I have a couple of them and that's what I hunt with. And there's no gun control measure that's going to affect, you know, unless you have a red flag law and the person is severely mentally ill, but that's you're not going to be able to get a hold of gun, you know, hunting rifles and ban them. And by the way, no one's really ever talking about that.
Hat tip to Charles C.W. Cook over at National Review, pointing out that is the gun that was recovered is still one of the few guns that, after jumping through many hoops, you can actually still buy in England. Okay, so the hunting rifles.
Makes sense, because it's bolt action. So what happens is once you fire a shot, you got to open the bolt, and you know the casing comes out, and you have to load the other bullet. And then if you're me, you miss the deer the second time, also. So unfortunately, but where do you think, you know? Let's talk about CNN. They do a headline and they talk about how now we have this information about the bullets and the casings, where there's cultural issues that were referred to. That's the best that they could do. They don't want to talk about the trans stuff at all, just like last week in Minnesota. But there are cultural issues that they put in a headline and in a story on CNN.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of very similar to what we would see with radical Islamic terror attacks. That like, oh, he was shouting about God. Okay. You know, it's just like very vague and esoteric. Like we, you know, Minnesota, we may never know their motive. You know, Governor Josh Shapiro. I mean, we never know what this guy was thinking, except we do.
Yeah, right.
Know what was going on here. But you know, I think it is so unfortunate, but it was so instructive yesterday because this was such a shocking event. The left, because it is a particularly the media operates on groupthink. You got their genuine reactions when something so unexpected happened. So you could see whether some people actually kind of had some humanity and others that didn't. And those that did have humanity, I should say Brian Stelter was one of the best yesterday. But the thing is with this, where we going forward, what does this mean? How do you use this in a constructive way? And just sort of pat him on the back of the head, you know, on tap him on the shoulder, say, good job. No, remember these kinds of things. So when they go back to saying that we're fascists and that we want to kill grandma, President Trump is a Nazi, all the rest, you can point to this and say, hey, well, what about that? You said we should be better. How about you? How about you do that?
So did you see George Conway's tweet?
Yes, comparing him to
Horse
an early
Wessel.
Nazi figure.
So all he does is he posts a picture of a guy by the name of Horse Wessel, and he offers the Wikipedia link. And this is yesterday in the aftermath of this horrific assassination, right? And if you go to the Wikipedia page,
a few hours ago today.
Okay, yeah, but there's a follow-up here that I just saw. So he posts that, and, you know, the Wikipedia entry says Horse was a member of, you know, the SA, the paramilitary wing of the Nazi Party. So that's all he says. So then somebody does a story on that, and he posts a caption from the story where Mediaite says, and it's a quote from someone, sick F George Conway put on blast for making Nazi comparison to Charlie Kirk assassination. So then he goes on, this is 5 minutes ago, and he says, they may not want to hear it and it may incense them, but the parallels between what the Nazis did then and what Trump and MAGA are doing today are striking, chilling, and as any expert on authoritarianism will tell you, straight out of the same toxic but dog-eared playbook. That's just insanity. And again, what he's saying there is being repeated on the mainstream left. It's being repeated on the fringe, but that is being repeated. That's how they think. They think we're that close to authoritarianism because they have that much of a case of TDS with Trump in the White House. And a guy was just shot in front of 3,000 kids, caught on camera with blood gushing from his neck because he happened to have some ideas that they don't agree with.
It's so un-American. And I mean, I just have to say, though, about Charlie, first of all, the fact that, you know, he was rich financially and personally, that he had built Turning Point into such a behemoth that he could just do the conferences and big speeches and hang out with the donors, and that was it. But the fact that he still kept doing these kinds of college events spoke to how much he enjoyed it and relished it and saw it as part of his calling and mission to do so. But yes, I mean, it's such a scary commentary, and we cannot let the left just simply try to goad us or shame people into silence. You know, Oliver Darcy, former CNNer, and a few others are out there, Slate is another, suggesting that just like with the Charlotte attack, you know, the victim in that was the murderer because society failed him. The bad guys in this is conservative media because they're really mad about it. They're kind of pissed off about it, and it's kind of upsetting us. Yeah, one of their friends, whom a lot of these movers and shakers on conservative media and TV had their friend killed basically almost on live TV. So, yeah, I think they're going to be really mad about it.
I think so, too. And then let's not forget, you know, when we do, I have mixed feelings here about whether or not, you know, hopefully they find this shooter. And I think maybe they have. We're getting some indication that there was a news conference that was going to, you know, happen maybe about an hour, hour and a half ago, and they delayed that. So that could be a sign that they have someone. But, you know, you do have a situation where, let's face it, these are also the people that cheered on the death of the UnitedHealthcare CEO, Brian Johnson. They made Luigi Mangione a hero. So even after two attempts on Trump and this, you know, Ruth guy goes to trial starting yesterday, you have the attacks or the threats on Brett Kavanaugh, but they can't wait to find out, many on the left, who this guy is so they can hold him up as the martyr. They're going to try to make him the martyr in all this.
Yeah, no. And again, I just think the media have a chance if they say they're so important and they think they're so great, they're the bastions of the First Amendment and what is right and what is wrong. They can start and set the tone here. But even if there were a change, Martin, I fear that the leftist base is too primed to hate the right that they can't put the toothpaste back in the tube.
I don't think so either, but where does that, you know, I don't know where that takes us. I'm not sure.
Yeah. You have Ilhan Omar, you know, Mehdi Hasan. I mean, these people are being praised for their reactions. They're being suggested that this person really had a point. They're people defending Matthew Dowd. Blue Sky, I mean, you know, going Blue Ski, I mean, that place is just a mess.
I've
right
avoided
now.
It, but I've heard, and I've, you know, I've unfortunately have a lot of audio to share from some of the revolting comments out there. But, you know, one more thing before I let you go, Curtis, if you're, I think about some of the people that I know and that, you know, if you're Riley Gaines, if you're Jen Say, if you're Ben Shapiro, if you're my friend Scott Jennings, if you're Senator Eric Schmidt, I mean, I can't even imagine what not only their reaction was to this. I heard Riley on CNN last night and she, you know, she admitted it's scary, right? And family members, I can't even imagine what family members thought, you know, outside of what happened to Charlie. But if you are married to someone who has a high profile position and espouses conservative beliefs, that's got to scare the crap out of you. Just like a spouse of a cop in the middle of George Floyd or in the middle of, you know, Mike Brown or some of these other things.
No, that's such a great point to make that comparison, not to like that they are similar in terms of, you know, what they mean to the country and obviously literally putting their lives on the line. But the same general point that unfortunately they are in this position where they go on a trip or they go to work, so to speak, a paid speech or somewhere. And you have to say, I will see you again or I love you. And that just goes to the necessity to tell those that we care about that we love them. And to check in on our, I said this morning, check in on our strong friends, too, just check in on your friends, even if people you disagree with, but you know of, because that's the kind of the way out of this. I think Charlie, that's what he did so well. He was fierce in his debate. You know, he'd get in trouble for saying things, but he said in a clip that's been going around, societies die. Marriages fall apart. Friendships fall apart when we stop talking to each other.
And we've seen that way too much here in the last 5 years in particular. Curtis Houck, always great to have you on. I think it's 2 in 1 week. We don't need to bother you that much, but I knew you'd have something to say on this, so I appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
I'll always make time for you, my friend.
All right, take care. Thank you. Well, we will have I believe today is Thursday. Sue, is today Thursday?
Confirmed.
Thank you. We have a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. Jane will be here, former state senator Jeff Smith and Gene Evans on the panel. Now, Sue, and I'm not doing this in any way, shape, or form to make you feel bad if you don't know this name, because a lot of listeners won't know this name. But if I say the name John Deal, does that mean anything to you?
Nope.
Okay, so John Deal might be best known, I can't even say this with a straight face, as Jane Duker's prom date. True story.
Seriously?
Yeah, well, yeah, but he was Speaker of the Missouri House.
Okay?
But he was, in fact, Jane's prom date, which will come up multiple times tomorrow. So yesterday at around 1 o'clock, I was in the office, and Beth, who is the news director at KMOX, comes down, and we share information. Like, when I have tips for her, I send her text messages. I still have a news instinct because that's where I came from. You know, after music radio, I was doing news before I got into talk. And she said, all right, here's what we're hearing. The feds have told us, the U.S. attorney, that a former politician is going to be indicted tomorrow at 11 a.m. and plead guilty. So I put feelers out. I'm like, all right, who is it? Nobody knew.
Huh.
This was pretty quiet. But it came out today that in the release from the Justice Department says the St. Louis lawyer admitted defrauding the U.S. Small Business Administration out of $379,900 by fraudulently obtaining a COVID-19 pandemic note. And they go through the details here. John Deal, 60. Now, he kind of, I got to think about this. Jane will know this much better. He left under very unusual circumstances. I believe there was a little bit of a sex with an intern scandal or something like that, or messages. I don't know, but that's kind of what brought
sexting?
Him.
Oh, sexting?
Yeah, I can't remember all the details, but that's kind of what brought him down from, you know, grace in the public eye. So he admits that on March 30th, 2020, he applied for an EIDL. That's an economic injury disaster loan on behalf of his law firm. And the way they describe it is that was, you know, for struggling businesses during the pandemic, and he applies for it. So he gets the money in April of 2020, and he gets an advance on the loan of $1,000. He makes a country club payment for $1,320 at that time. And then on June 9th, the remainder of the original loan, which was $93,900, was put into his bank account. So then the release says he transferred some of the funds to his personal account between June 10th, 2020 and August 16th, 2021. He impermissibly used the loan proceeds for unauthorized personal use. Those included payments on a Tesla, an Audi, a Jeep, personal credit cards, personal home mortgage, family members' college tuition, pool maintenance, country club dues, fees, and cash withdrawals for personal use and expenses. Then he transferred $50,000 of the proceeds to the law firm's retirement plan. That seems very generous, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know who the only participant in the law firm's retirement plan was?
Him.
It was him.
Oh, no.
And then, so the numbers don't match up if you go through this. $379,000, how do you get to that? Well, what happened was he applies for a different loan. They get a loan modification. And in April of 2022, I guess he decides, hey, this is going pretty well for me. I get to pay for my Tesla and my Audi and my Jeep. He gets $285,000 transferred into his account. And same thing, uses it on credit cards, college tuition, mortgage, etc. Put $150,000 into his retirement plan. He pleaded guilty today. He'll be sentenced on December 9th.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.